Your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Take another look at me. Dare to go beyond skin deep. Take another look and see I'm beautiful. I'm beautiful.
Good afternoon and welcome to Savor Yourself Beyond Skin Deep with your host, Doris Smeltzer. What does it mean to truly love the skin you're in? Keep listening and find out. Now, here's your host, Doris Smeltzer.
Good afternoon. The reason I'm with you today is because of the journey that began when our 19-year-old daughter, Andrea, died of bulimia 8 years ago. Thus, each show begins and ends with her words. In a letter Andrea wrote to a friend when she was 14 and living in Spain as an exchange student, she attempted to explain the confusion of all that she was experiencing. After trying unsuccessfully to clarify her thoughts, she wrote, "I don't know if you understand this or not, so I'll put it in a different way. This isn't a poem or prose or anything. It's emotion. The fear, the sickness of being here, the sickness of being there. Where? Inside. Lose apart, keep apart, kill apart. It doesn't grow back. The anger, break out, break away. What's holding you? The cage is not within the place. I am the cage. I am the builder. Help me. Search with me. Let me share your secret world. Mine has kept me prisoner. Understand, but don't box me into your parameters. Take the whole of me, or nothing at all. The confusion, broken. The box is dark. Nothing keeps me inside, yet I cannot find my way out." Today's guest, Dr. Michael Levine, will help us find our way out of the maze of media that so easily traps us into thoughts, feelings, and behaviors that do not serve us well. Michael is a professor of psychology at Kenyon College in Ohio. He has been a consultant to numerous national organizations and the co-author of many books and publications, especially on the topics of eating disorders, the effects of mass media on the development of these illnesses, and its effects on body image issues. In fact, if I were to list Michael's many publications, they would span nearly 28 pages. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us. So, Michael, in what ways do the media affect the way women and men feel about their bodies?
Well, Doris, I found your daughter's words, as always, very moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one of the things that attracts me to the study of mass media is that there's a good deal of confusion and a good deal of wandering and searching within the media themselves and also within the study of mass media.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important to keep in mind. For instance, you often hear people in our field say, well, of course the media contribute, and they wave a hand and everybody nods. And yet when you talk to a lot of people, whether they're parents or some psychiatrists or adolescents, they'll say, look, nobody ever developed a serious eating disorder on the basis of mass media.
Mm-hmm.
So right then and there you have extremes that are themselves confusing. How could both of these be the case?
Mm-hmm.
I think also when you begin to study the content of mass media and the processes by which people use media and extract information from them, by which they're affected emotionally and all, again, I wish it were straightforward, but it is very very challenging to understand. The way I'm looking at things now, first of all, the media affect men and women's feelings about their bodies and their behavior toward their bodies in the sense that more than any other factor, the mass media call attention to themselves and to us as viewers and consumers in regard to appearance.
Mm-hmm.
People are defined by their looks, particularly women.
Mm-hmm.
It's important. Perhaps the most important thing about you as a woman, according to mass media, how you look, how your image is created and sustained, how it's fashioned, how it's made over, how it's promoted, and not just promoted by an advertiser, but how you yourself promote it and how you market yourself. So one of the principal ways is in calling attention to the media and what it has to offer. It offers ideals, of course. It offers products. It offers hope. It offers excitement, the kind of emotion that your daughter was alluding to, not the darkness and confusion in a sense, but it even does that. It says you're confused about the best way to look. You're confused about the many products. You're confused about what it means. Well, let us clarify it for you. And it's simple, and you can purchase it, and it doesn't take long for us to ship it to you. It's quick. It's straightforward. It's exciting. Other people are doing it. So there are a lot of what you might call meta messages there that say, pay attention to your looks, particularly if you're female. Be a pleasing object in the eye of males and also in to the eyes of other women. Be the envy of them. You're in competition with them. There's a great deal to be learned from television, from the internet, from magazines. You need to purchase these things and be engaged with these things and pay attention to these things because it's not a game. It's very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are very, 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 very successful, such as Madonna or Angelina Jolie, for instance, or Cher or others, people who have, I believe, many admirable qualities, are best known and extremely well known for their appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Within that box, to use your daughter's term, within that box of these meta messages are, of course, the message, look young, look thin, look white, by and large,
mm-hmm.
or if you look black or Hispanic, don't look too black or too Hispanic, or don't look like you're from Somalia and someone, because that, of course, isn't hip or isn't modern in the way that many people want to define that. We also say to people, look, there's nothing really better than being tall, white, and thin. And of course, there's nothing more horrible than being short and dumpy and fat and old.
That's for sure.
Yeah, and those messages are promoted and reinforced, and they come to people through a variety of sources, including psychologists, physicians, dietitians, dentists, peers, magazines, television, the internet, comedians, and so on. And
mm-hmm.
so I don't think, in my opinion, and based on years of research, there's not much doubt that mass media affect the way men and women feel about their bodies, the way men and women think about bodies and body shape and what they mean, the way we think about our bodies as changeable objects that can be manipulated and changed and even exploited through technology.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my mind, there's little doubt that the media have an effect. Now, your question is also in what ways or how. And that's a complicated thing, too. I mean, let's take women ages, or girls and women ages 12 to 25 or 30.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, millions, literally millions, that's why they call it mass media, millions upon millions of girls and women read fashion magazines, watch television shows such as What Not to Wear or Extreme Makeover or Project Runway. Of course, the internet, it's hard to calculate, but certainly millions of people are using the Internet. Millions are reading romance novels. It's called mass media for a reason.
Correct.
And I think that it's the height of arrogance for anyone, particularly male psychologists like me, to say, well, those women are gullible or stupid, or can't they see what's happening to them? I mean, that's foolish. They're not. People are not generally gullible or stupid or unaware of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So the question is, why would anybody spend money and time reading over fashion magazines or looking at images on the Internet if all it did was make you feel awful about yourself?
Good question.
I mean, and we're back again to the confusion here.
Uh-huh.
Because the research suggests that the more time you spend looking at those images and the more intense those images are and the more you're encouraged to compare yourself to those images, in fact, the worse you're likely to feel about your body and yourself and the more likely you are at least to endorse the attitudes and the beliefs and the perspective that in the extreme becomes the basis for eating disorders. So again, the question is, why would anybody be engaged so deeply in this if it were the source of such misery and such a risk? And I don't have the answers to those things. But I think that one possible answer, and there are many possible answers, is, of course, there is a level at which these images and the messages are part of the cultural air we breathe, the cultural waters we swim in. They're a part of our environment,
mm-hmm.
and they don't tell us what to think so much as they tell us what to think about, to use the old cliche. And so we begin to take in of course thin is better looking than fat. Of course fat is a dangerous thing. Of course fat is ugly. Of course, we begin to think in these terms because we're being told in many ways the same things over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
People are being told this is the epitome, the ideal of beauty. This is what we want to pay attention to. This is what, pardon my language, this is what hot chicks should look like. This is
mm-hmm.
what you ought to look like to get many, many, many rewards and to be admired and to be, to attain the kind of attention that Britney Spears has received, for instance, and the wealth and the all that comes with it, for better or for worse. And so we're being told that kind of thing is fabulous. It's worthy of attention. It's a story we all can relate to, and it's very, very easy for everyone to pick up on it and for people to buy into it. And as you know, I believe it's almost a truism to say that if you don't feel very good about yourself, or if you're being told by various sources at school or in your home, or your life is such that you're being told you're nothing, you don't matter much, then it's all too easy to begin to buy into these illusions and to begin to say, I would do anything to look like that. I would kill to look like that.
Hold that thought. We'll return with more from Dr. Michael Levine.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Savor yourself. Get more information on eating disorders and body image issues at andreasvoice.org. To purchase Doris's critically acclaimed book, Andrea's Voice, Silenced by Bulimia, go to andreasvoice.org, the GERS Books website at bulimia.com, or any bookstore.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street.
Yo, what's up, baby? Want to learn some history?
I got live learning, beautiful books inside.
And don't expect anyone to just offer you an education.
Who needs a high school diploma, huh?
And fortunately, you can't buy a diploma from some guy with a briefcase. But there is one way you can get the educational skills you and your family need for free, with free family learning programs. Call 1-877-FAMLIT-1 for information on free GED, computer training classes, and other family learning programs. That's 1-877-FAMLIT-1.
Check it out, check it out. Want your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
After all, you can't get your education on the street. Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy, the first step to a better life. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Take another look and see I'm beautiful. Beautiful is me.
Welcome back to Savor Yourself Beyond Skin Deep with host Doris Smeltzer. If you have a question or comment for Doris, write to her at doris@savoryourself.org. Now back to today's show.
We are back with Dr. Michael Levine, professor, author, and international presenter. Before the break, we were talking about the ways that media affect women and men and how they feel about their bodies. And I'm wondering, Michael, is television worse than magazines or vice versa? And what's the reason?
Well, we're actually doing some research on that very topic recently using a statistical technique called meta-analysis, which enables you to draw statistical conclusions across large groups of studies. And we're finding pretty clearly that magazines tend to have, or at least to be correlated with, more negative effects than television. And that's a pretty strong difference.
Wow.
Neither one of them alone, of course, is going to make someone develop an eating disorder or is going to be a single cause, but magazines seem to be more problematic than television. And I suspect, Doris, it's that the messages in television, the messages in situation comedies and the messages in dramas like Law and Order, for instance, tend to be more embedded in a story or a narrative that itself is gripping. And it may take you a bit, or you may need to be a little older to notice in a show like Law and Order that the assistant district attorneys are always really good looking, and so are the perpetrators of the crimes often, and so on. The messages are not as clear as they are
sure.
in a lot of magazines, particularly the number of magazines that are devoted to glamour, to fashion. Magazines like Shape and Muscle and Fitness, and magazines that are devoted to promoting a lifestyle that has that focus and that shows multiple pictures and images that attracts your attention with information and photographs and programs and routines, and also product after product after product after product. So it's likely that the concentrated impact of these magazines is much more salient. And of course, it's not a one-way street. You have people seeking out the information. That is, people seeking out the information in 17 magazine or Glamour or Mademoiselle or Elle or so on. People seeking out certain kinds of information and then also being exposed to other kinds of information in this transaction. And the transaction continues to say one of the most important, if not the most important thing about you as a female, for example, is your looks.
And don't you think that seeking out the information is because we're bombarded with that message?
Oh, yes, like very much so. And no one yet knows, or to be honest, we know that that children as young as 3 or 4 know the difference between thin and fat already developed some prejudicial, very prejudicial ideas about fat children and so on. We know that messages about the distinctions between little girls and little boys are prevalent and prominent in the toys and in the books and in the movies and the films that children as young as probably 2 or 3 are seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So we know the process begins early. It's likely that mass media is differentially important at different times in the development of children and adolescents' lives. You'd be surprised how little is known about that process, given how concerned people have been about media for the last 150, 200 years.
And is that because that's not where the research has focused?
Well, I think it's several things. It's a really good question. I think part of it has been that, as you know, there's tremendous concern about eating disorders and a tremendous amount of of advocacy going on to have eating disorders recognized as severe and sometimes deadly psychiatric illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And there's evidence to suggest that people suffering from anorexia nervosa, for instance, many of them are more chronically disabled than people with schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
And that research and that advocacy effort and so on is, I think, reluctant for political reasons to emphasize things like peers and mass media and family emphasis on dieting, and instead is looking for genetics and serotonin systems and so on, things that make it look more like an illness.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a big problem with that, but I think that's part of the reason. I do think that you're absolutely right that probably by the time girls and some boys are 12 or 13, it's very difficult to distinguish the differences between the motives for seeking out this information and then the impact of the information and then the impact of the discussion of the information with friends and family and the fact that parents may be reading the magazine or coaches may be reading it or people are talking about it in the locker rooms, that it's in the books. It's very hard to distinguish there. Well, what's an effective media, and where is media reflecting what's happening? And that's part of the challenge for researchers and for people like me trying to figure this out. But to me, it's also part of the insidious aspect of it. I think it's the height of deceptiveness to argue, well, the mass media just reflect cultural tastes and values and they change. I think that's a sinister way of thinking about it. On the other hand, media are one of many factors that set the foundation for the nervosa. If people start thinking about, well, what does the nervosa mean in anorexia nervosa or bulimia nervosa? You hardly ever hear that.
Uh-huh.
But if you think about that psychological foundation, drive for thinness, fear of fat, undue influence of weight and shape on definition of the self, the insecurity so many of us feel that's combined with either giving up on ourselves, what the heck, we're not doing anything, or the opposite, we have these extreme perfectionist standards that's going to compensate for our inadequacies and insecurities. And boy, trying to control your weight and shape is just perfect for that, no?
Oh, isn't it?
You can stand on a scale and say, I'm being better today, or you can look at the amount you ate. You can weigh you can buy little scales and weigh the amount you eat. And
yeah.
You can buy little calipers from Shape Magazine. You used to sell them where you could measure, literally it said measure your success and you could pull the fat away from
your
hip. Yeah, I mean, and yes, ouch, it would hurt, and ouch, it hurts us to see young men and women doing that, but that was being promoted as a really positive, assertive, developmental thing that you could do is measure your success.
And it really does give someone the sense of control. I so get why.
Yeah.
Someone would develop that because you can control it.
Yeah, and these beliefs, we talk a lot about this here at Kenyon, where I'm privileged to be working with several other well-known people. I mean, these beliefs and ideas, you and I know, they're tragically sad.
Mm-hmm.
They're incredibly deadly, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're destructive in direct ways and also in insidious ways. For instance, it's now well established that negative body image is a risk factor for depression in girls 13, 14, 15, 16, and that may be part of what accounts for the well-known gender difference in risk for depression. But it's sad, it's dysfunctional, it's such a waste of time and effort, and yet there's nothing at all irrational about it.
No, we can really see the rationality behind it when we look at it. So I can really see clearly why we need to care. What can parents do to protect their children from the effects of media?
Well, here's some suggestions. And you know, I'm smiling here, Doris, because it reminds me of the question that you probably heard growing up. What can parents do to protect their children from rock and roll? I'm probably older than anybody listening, but I remember a time when we did not have a television.
Oh, I can remember
And so the question about what can you do to protect people from television or from the Internet and so on, So the question in my mind is, I think a good way to look at it is one that is used by a woman I admire at Washington State University who does work with parents. Her name is Erica Austin, A-U-S-T-I-N,
mm-hmm.
at the main Washington State University campus. And she says, makes the point, an excellent point, that mass media are a critically important part of a democracy. They're an extremely powerful tool for educating, for broadening people's horizons, for motivating people, for entertaining. There's so many functions that a mass media medium like television or the internet serve. But like all powerful tools, it's important to use them safely.
The goggles, yes,
yeah,
to wear,
yeah, exactly.
Protective eyewear.
And like many powerful tools in a machine shop, for instance, a safety glasses are important, or safety wear, gloves, and so on. So how can one provide one's self and one's children or one's students, if you're a teacher like I am, or your, you know, people in your Girl Scout troop and so on, how to provide them with the appreciation, deep appreciation for mass media, while also providing them with the safety tools that are there that don't devolve into cynicism or skepticism or, you know, or black and the kind of black and white thinking that you and I know are associated with eating disorders.
Yes.
All media are evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
All sugar-free foods are good. I mean, that kind of thinking, we know, is itself a danger.
It sure is.
And so we're talking about literacy, I think, Doris, and literacy, critical thinking. And when I say critical, I mean critical as in developing a deeper appreciation and understanding for what's going on. Not critical as in, this is stupid, this is bad, this is awful.
Yes, correct.
That may be how you end up feeling about certain things. I happen to feel certain way about pornography, and I happen to feel that certain kinds of things that are going on everyday television now, in my mind, are pornographic. So I'm critical of those things. But I also deeply appreciate other things, and I think as I get more mature, I also want to appreciate the ambiguity of some shows like What Not to Wear,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
has a lot of positive messages, but also feeds into, pun intended, a lot of the same thinking that we're talking about. If you're concerned about your life or your spiritual well-being or the kind of person you are, change your clothes.
Yes.
Pretty
simple, huh?
Yeah. So I think you know the following things. I think that talking, if one has a partner or a spouse or you know grandparent, that talking about mass media and maybe learning more about it. There are many, many websites, excellent websites that provide a wealth of information about media and becoming more literate and developing a deeper appreciation for it. Talking about those things, making decisions as a parent or as parents about how television is going to be used in the same way that you wouldn't just say to kids, you know, we have a lathe in the basement, use it whenever you want to.
Hold that thought. We'll be back. Stay tuned for more with Dr. Michael Levine.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Savor yourself. Get more information on eating disorders and body image issues at andreasvoice.org. To purchase Doris's critically acclaimed book, Andrea's Voice, Silenced by Bulimia, go to andreasvoice.org, the GERS Books website at bulimia.com, or any bookstore.
Would it be crazy if you just stopped everything, packed your bags and left for a week, a month, a year? What if you left for 2 years? Would people think you'd lost your mind? What if you were going far away to help in a village on the edge of the Gobi Desert? A village crowded with Buddhist temples, not skyscrapers. A place where there isn't a word for recluse, but 1,000 words for community. Would it be crazy to go 5,000 miles from home? To spend time with people the rest of the world only reads about? To build libraries and fill them with stories? Prepare a meal with food you helped grow? To teach children and learn a thing or two about yourself. Would that be crazy? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Take another look and see I'm beautiful. Beautiful is me.
Welcome back to Savor Yourself Beyond Skin Deep with host Doris Smeltzer. If you have a question or comment for Doris, write to her at doris@savoryourself.org. Now back to today's show.
Welcome back. We are talking to Dr. Michael Levine, Kenyon College psychology professor. And before the break, he was sharing with us the things that parents can do to protect their children from the effects of mass media. And Michael, you'd mentioned doing some research, making sure that you become knowledgeable, and making sure that you also help your children develop the tools they need. And one of those tools is talking to them about the effects and all of that. Mm-hmm. Did you have more?
Yes, and I think, you know, it depends on, of course, it depends on the age of the children. I believe that certain programs are not appropriate for 3- and 4-year-old children, or certain programs are not appropriate for 9-, 10-, 11-year-old children. And that is a tricky topic, but setting rules and limits and doing it in a way that's authoritative and not authoritarian if possible, and being consistent and so on. And as people do things, as children are more responsible and more responsive, they earn more privileges and such. So in other words, how you relate to television and the computer and so on is part of developing one's skills as a good parent, I think. I also think that there are times when media need to be off. I think there are times when, for example, the television or the notebook computer or the radio need to be off.
Oh, yes.
And I would say the obvious here, but it's not as obvious as it once was, and that is making the time and effort for at least one family meal a day, probably a dinner, and during that time, the TV is not on, people don't have their iPod pads in, you're not talking on the cell phone. It's sacred, if you will, family time, and as much as possible during that time, people relate to each other as people find out about the day, what's going on. It's not a time, as you know, to monitor who's eating what calories and who's having a second helping of this.
No, so absolutely that, not.
to make certain times, make it clear that these are not times to use the tools or the entertainment of media. I think it's perfectly appropriate for parents to look in on the media their kids are using and exploring. In the same way, they want to know who your kids' friends are and what classes they're taking at school and where they are at night and so on. Now, there are ways to do that are more or less intrusive, and there's a lot of times when all of us have to bite our tongue while a child is playing Resident Evil or something like that, and just it's not what you would play, and they may say, come on, play this game with me, or watch, my daughter will say, watch Real World with me, which is an MTV show, and I'll say, I want to spend time with you, and I know this is a show you like, but I can't watch this with you. This show violates my values and principles in the following ways, and she'll look at me like, oh my God, you're not going to pontificate again, are you, while I'm trying to watch Real World, and I'll smile because I've learned this and say, when you get a chance, let's talk about it, because I really like spending time with you, and I understand that this is a show you like, but I just cannot support this show.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain kinds of media that I'm not going to support in other ways. There's certain kinds of magazines that I'm not going to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And certain kinds of cable TV that I'm not going to pay for. There comes a time, as you know, when children and children as young adults have their own income and have their own.
And I think it might be helpful. It might be helpful too for listeners to know the age of your daughter.
My daughter is now 21.
Okay.
And she's the youngest. I have two boys who are older, two young men who are older, I guess, and my daughter's now 21.
I didn't want them to picture a 7-year-old.
Yeah, no. And we've had some conflict over this, and we've my daughter will kind of roll her eyes, and my wife will even do that at times, because, you know, everyone has their so-called pleasures.
No, it's true.
People
yeah.
will say, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I love watching, and then fill in the blank.
Right.
Whether
exactly.
it's Judge Judy or Dog the Bounty Hunter or
well, there are
a couple
Project of shows.
Runway and so on. And I don't feel it's worth an argument. But
right.
I do say to people, including my wife, I'm not going to watch this because I can't support this kind of thing. And sometimes when I'm watching a show with my daughter or we're watching something afterwards, I'll say, you know, I really liked these messages, but I can't abide by this. Or
mm-hmm.
I was really troubled by this kind of thing. What did you think?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard sometimes because I want to say, you know, I don't really, I wish you wouldn't watch this. I just, but my experience is quite often telling people they can't do something, telling them that this is just wicked and you won't have it, that I understand the impulse to do that, but my feeling is that hardly ever works.
Right.
And it simply increases the attractiveness of it in various ways.
Exactly, that deprivation thing. If we feel we're being deprived, we're going to go for it.
I also think that one of the ways that I've learned a lot myself, and I feel I've become more appreciative of the strengths and power of mass media, but also more concerned about certain things, is to involve yourself in it, in a sense. And that is, no matter who you are, I think, you can always bring these things to the attention of your local library and volunteer to put together one of the displays in the entryway. All libraries have entryways and things up about
mm-hmm.
media, and it doesn't have to be about body image necessarily, but it might. There are church and synagogue and other kinds of groups that are very interested in the health and well-being of young people and want to foster discussion of these kinds of issues. Really well-known groups like 4-H and the Girl Scouts and even equestrian kinds of groups and things
mm-hmm.
like that. There are many, many opportunities to get not only young people thinking about this, but scout leaders and the people, the adults who run this, thinking about it and talking about it. Same thing with Rotary Clubs, a retired teachers. I mean, there's lots and lots of organizations whose purpose it is to do good, you know, community service and to foster community. And as you know, I mean, many of these topics, many topics revolve in and around and through media. Health, well-being, eating, cooking, ethnicity, gender.
They sure do, yes.
And so I think that those are some things people can do. I think that those who want to can join a number of us. And I'm sure your organization and others, the National Eating Disorders Association and so forth, there's a lot of more active things people can do to protest ad campaigns by certain companies that you find really, really disturbing.
Yes,
how they use children and children's bodies or how they portray girls and young boys as to what they have on their minds all the time. And I think that there's some very active things one can do all the way up to the legislative level in terms of joining groups that lobby for healthier and more sane television that offers at least more choices. If it doesn't overregulate, it at least offers more and more choices and offers more and more options for what the kids are, what's being advertised even.
And, you know, I know that there are a number of organizations that will offer email media alerts so that if parents don't have the time to, and they don't have the inclination to go through magazines that they find offensive to begin with, they can find out that there are ads out there through the alerts. And then, like, I know Dads and Daughters and About Face, those are two organizations that will actually send you the alert and then give you a very easy means of stating your opinion by usually just clicking a link and sending off a letter, sending off an email so that your voice can be heard.
Mm-hmm. And I think encouraging children in health classes in middle school, for instance,
yes.
or even social studies in elementary school, encouraging college students, encouraging people to investigate these things and to make reports on them, and even to, as you know, Norse, I mean, as a citizen who is involved now in media and advocacy, quote, ordinary citizens
mm-hmm.
Can, in fact, do an awful lot in their local communities, and you never know where this goes.
It is
I mean, I would
so
imagine
true.
You envisioned yourself on a national internet program, but
yes.
you start caring, and you look into things, and
mm-hmm.
you write a newspaper article here and a newsletter thing there, and you give a little talk at the library, and before you know it, you find connections with other parents and other people who want to know more and are concerned, and what can we do, and before you know it, as you know, a lot of strange things happen once this gets rolling.
It sure does. And, you know, one of the things, Michael, that has surprised me again and again is when I'm speaking with high school students, how absolutely amazed they are to hear that when the ads that they hear or read, that the goal of that is to sell a product, and that the person or the company or organization selling the product does not have your well-being
right.
as its paramount thought. And it shocks them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm surprised that they are so shocked. And what that tells me is that not only is it not being discussed in classrooms, but it is not being discussed at home.
Yes, and I think it also tells me that two things. One, it tells me that there are ways that teachers, like me, there are always ways that we can improve our teaching and engage adolescents and young adults and elementary school kids more effectively. So we don't get that, what'd you do in psychology class today? Nothing. It's the whole thing. Second thing it tells me is that for all the cynicism that adults have about the cynicism of adolescents and children, my experience has been that a great many of them, the vast majority, care deeply about themselves and their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask them, do you want a world in which girls are essentially treated as objects and at times even oppressed by beauty standards and told you can't eat certain foods that other people can eat and you have to wear shoes that are uncomfortable and restrict your mobility and that really the only thing anyone's going to care about is whether you're hot or not. Is that what you want for your sister, your niece, your girlfriend, your best friend? Stand up and be counted if that's what you want. That they'll look at you like, where are you coming off? I'm not like that.
True.
I mean, I really find that there's tremendous concern about community and there's tremendous care about friends and family, and I think there's a great deal we can do to harness that. Are young
yes.
people going to be shallow at times and make mistakes and
sure.
buy into advertising? Just like you and me, right?
Yes.
are they going to say things like, well, it's not me, Dr. Levine, it's my friends, it's them. that's even a phenomenon in the study of mass media that's well recognized.
I want to hear more yeah. about that. Hold that thought.
All right.
Don't go away. We'll be yeah. right back.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure, what's up?
There's this girl I kind of like.
Well, if there's one thing I know, it's women.
Really?
Well, they didn't call me Velvet for nothing.
I don't get it.
Smooth. I was smooth.
Oh.
Anyway, it's easy. You just got to impress her. Show her how strong you are.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
I don't know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt, if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, ugh! Try it.
Ugh!
Ugh! See, there you go. And you should dress up. Start wearing a shirt and tie.
I'll look like a dork.
No, you'll look successful.
Okay.
And finally, you can start using my cologne. The ladies love it, so don't be shy. Splash it on.
Thanks, Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To find out how you can adopt, please visit our website at adoptuskids.org or call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Savor yourself. Get more information on eating disorders and body image issues at andreasvoice.org. To purchase Doris's critically acclaimed book, Andrea's Voice, Silenced by Bulimia, go to andreasvoice.org, the GERS Books website at bulimia.com, or any bookstore.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. They say it's from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote. And then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found a small patch of plastic on my right shoulder.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Real Life Solutions. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Take another look and see I'm beautiful.
Welcome back to Savor Yourself, Beyond Skin Deep, with host Doris Smeltzer. If you have a question or comment for Doris, write to her at doris@savoryourself.org. Now back to today's show.
We are back with Dr. Michael Levine, psychology professor and media expert. And Michael, right before the break, you started to talk about something that during the break you told me is called the third person effect. Mm-hmm. Can you share that with us?
Yes, and I hope not too many PhDs in communications are listening here.
If they are, they can write, and we'll read what they say.
my understanding of a very simple version of it is that if you ask many people, including a lot of adults, are you affected in a direct and powerful way by advertising of clothing or of alcohol or cigarettes or such, Do the media have a direct effect on your behavior? Many people will say, no, because I'm hip to their techniques and I'm aware of their tricks and I'm just impervious to it. And then if you ask them, well, what about other people? What about your friends and what about other people at your school or in your place of employment? They'll say, oh, my gosh, people are just, you know, they're always talking about the media and singing the jingles and they have the shirts, and they go to NASCAR, and they have as if it's somebody else affected by it and not you. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that's a grist for a comedian in terms of how we're insulated. But also it becomes a little more important and insidious when people think that many more people are affected by something than really are. So if you believe the vast majority of girls are reading fashion magazines and are being taken in by many of the negative and unhealthy messages about weight and shape and food itself, and you believe that's the case, then you may find yourself publicly espousing those things or going along with the crowd because you know that it's important to other people and you'll stand out in a way that's not very pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the prevention effort in our area, but also in substance use and substance abuse, trying to prevent middle school students from beginning to smoke cigarettes or drink alcohol or use stimulants or such, part of that effort is to get people talking about, again, their relationship with media and their beliefs. And you can work this into mathematics courses or to social studies courses, or that is, you can get the students or the children or the 4-H members or whatever involved in formulating research questions, in conducting research, in using spreadsheet programs to organize the data, in analyzing the data. And you're doing it not just as old man Levine assigned us this stupid idea, I don't care. It's you're trying to determine something, and when you get those data, you're going to talk about them. You may publish them in the school paper. You may call the local radio station and share with them the findings of your research. In other words, you begin to learn about media not only by some guy with a PhD telling you about it, but by beginning to investigate it and beginning to understand that, as you know, radio stations, television stations, and such are mandated by the government to serve to a certain degree, to be an important part of their community.
Mm-hmm.
They have to pay attention to community people. And so you can begin to talk with students and with people in your Rotary Club or in your church group. How do we get our thoughts and ideas into the media to perhaps counteract a lot of the very unhealthy things we see?
Mm-hmm.
And anybody out there who thinks, well, I'm just a blank,
mm-hmm.
just a mother, I'm just a 13-year-old, I'm just a single... Nobody's just a mother, as you know.
Correct.
I mean, and people, we're citizens, and mass media plays an important role in a democracy, and part of being empowered as citizens is we have opportunities to have our ideas clarified through discussion. We have the right to assemble, for instance. We
mm-hmm.
have the opportunity to say, this is what we want heard. Now, there's no guarantees, but most local newspapers are looking for input from students. They want to know about what creative things are going on.
Mm-hmm.
Most, especially small-town newspapers like ours, are looking for columns from citizens. And they're looking for input from the Mental Health Association, the Heart Association, the Nutrition Group, 4-H. That is what I'm ultimately hoping to do is to keep promoting a type of media literacy that engages citizens, not just experts, but citizens in becoming more aware of their relationship to media, analyzing its strengths and weaknesses, taking actions as dads and daughters and others have
mm-hmm.
done, to
mm-hmm.
not only to protest, but to praise groups whose messages you think are very positive and creative and healthy in terms of
mm-hmm.
what you want to be conveying. And eventually you reach a point where you think, how do we get our stories out there? Do we write something? Do we make a public service announcement? Do we create a billboard? Do we put up displays in libraries and supermarkets? And, you know, you can do a tremendous amount with this kind of thing. And
it's
sometimes
true.
It takes you in extraordinary directions.
Mm-hmm. It does, and it's usually very surprising.
Yes, and even if it doesn't work, it's a very, very empowering thing for the people involved.
And it teaches you, how will I do differently the next time?
Yes, there's as you may know, there's an organization in, of all places, Red Wing, Minnesota, that's mentored by, that's led by one of my friends, a person I admire greatly. Her name is Sarah Stinson. And it started as a Go Girls group through NIDA, but they've become a nonprofit organization. And these girls have presented at conferences. They've testified before the United States Congress. They've been on talk shows in Minnesota. I mean, imagine all these things. And we're talking primarily about 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old girls doing this.
I love that story. I think it's one of the best.
Yeah, it's astounding. I mean, when I think of myself as a 15-year-old boy, you know what comes to mind? Nothing. and so I think, and you know, not all of your activism works, not all of your
yeah.
efforts pay off,
mm-hmm.
but it's in the commitment to it, it's in the vision of it and the imagination, and it's really reclaiming that word model. I'd like to see us reclaim the word model. There's a place for fashion models, and there's a place for movies like Zoolander and all,
uh-huh.
but I'd like to see us begin reclaiming model as in role model.
Yes.
And model.
Mentor.
And mentors and all. And that can be done in conjunction with media, particularly now. I mean, I'll bet the average 11-year-old knows more about Photoshop and the Internet and YouTube and websites than I'll ever know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a form of media, an up-and-coming form of media, that we're going to need to literally take advantage of to promote the healthy messages that you and I want to get out.
It's so true. I'm going to cut in there, Michael, because
yeah.
we only have 2 minutes left, and I want you to take one of those minutes to, and I know that this is not a question commonly asked of men,
mm-hmm.
and for that reason, I think it is incredibly necessary, and I did give you a heads up that I'd be asking
yes, of
you.
Course.
So how do you savor yourself?
First of all, I find it very challenging to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I know it's very important, just like you're asking me this question. Secondly, as time goes by, I try to do two things. I try to acknowledge the many problems that I have, rather than deny them or talk myself out of them, my anxieties, my history of depression, and so on. I try to acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't revel in it, but I acknowledge it. It's me. And then I remind myself of all the incredible connections and experiences I've had in the course of doing this very complicated, sometimes heartbreaking work.
Mm-hmm.
In the last couple months, I savor the fact that I've talked with students in Beloit, Wisconsin, who were starting a group there and putting on their first Eating Disorders Awareness Week. I've been to Moncton, New Brunswick, in Canada, and worked with people at the YWCA and a private psychological firm.
Michael, I'm going to have to jump in because we only have a few seconds left. I want to thank you so much for all that you've taught us. Thank you, listeners. I look forward to spending time with you next week when Evelyn Triboli shares her simple approach to jumping off the dieting roller coaster. Let us close with Andrea's words, where she asks that we understand, but don't box me in to your parameters. Take the whole of me or nothing at all. Until next week, may you not be boxed in to others' parameters, and may you remember to savor yourself.
Take another look and see I'm beautiful. Beautiful is me.
We appreciate you spending this hour with Doris Smeltzer and Savor Yourself. If you would like to learn more about eating disorder prevention, visit our site at andreasvoice.org. That's andreasvoice.org. And be sure to tune in next week for more valuable tips on how to dare to go beyond skin deep and to truly savor yourself. We'll see you next Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Health and Wellness Channel.